When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Mini Crush number 99. Number 99.
What if it, I'm a little disappointed it's not 999.
Well, we got a long way to go, buddy.
Here's to 999, is what I said.
99, why do you think all these red balloons are in here?
Is that what color they are? I tell you, I'm red deficient, I'm color deficient.
Are you really?
No. There's no balloons in here, Chuck.
Oh, geez. You're balloon deficient.
That's true.
So here we are at the last Mini Crush recording of our year, which puts this in to be released into the new year. You are weirdly sitting across from me because Ramsey is engineering this one. Hello,
he sure
Ramsey.
Is.
Hello.
Oh, did you hear that?
I did. That was Ramsey.
Can they pick you up on that mic, Ramsey?
Yeah.
Yes, they can.
Oh, well, feel free to just fucking join in whenever you feel like it then. You have permission to speak.
Permission to speak? Permission granted.
Because Noel is usually over there as the Roz to my Frasier, but we're mixing it up today because Ramsey was like, hey, I never do this,
yeah,
so why not?
Absolutely. And it's also the last one of the year. We were thinking it was going to be number hundo.
No, no.
That's later.
99.
One later.
It's one after this.
But let's maybe the new thing, the new benchmark should – why? Who cares about 100? I like 99. It's a more fun number anyway.
Oh, Noel.
You're saying we still got to make
don't
a big to-do?
Don't be a contrarian.
We got to make it to-do about 100 now, too?
God. So Ramsey surprised us with some Christmas gifts.
He did.
It was very kind. I didn't get anyone anything, but you got me the vinyl recording of Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas, which is a special lithographed vinyl, and it's beautiful.
What's the big song from that? Is that the one with like Heat Miser, Snow Miser? That's different.
That's different.
What is that?
That's one of those Rankin Bass specials. Ones. This is, I mean, if they're all special to me, but Ain't No Hole in the Washtub.
Yeah, okay.
Pretty big one.
Got
and
it.
Then, of course, the River Bottom Nightmare Band has the great song. Well, River Bottom Nightmare Band.
Are they the bad guys? Is there feuding band factions
in
this film?
That's the whole story here is there's a contest in the town, a talent contest, and everyone, it's basically the gift of the Magi.
Got it.
Told through puppet otters.
So.
And a talent show.
It's like he gets a kid a harmonica and the kid doesn't have lips
like
or something like
Emmett,
that.
Emmett puts a hole in the washtub to make a jug band so he can buy his mother something special, and she wants to buy him a guitar. Or no, I think he wants to buy his mom the guitar. And then she – I don't want to spoil
it. No, that. No. It sounds lovely.
It's great.
Yeah. Classic. Christmas classic.
And that's a great gift. Thank you, Ramsey.
And Ramsey got me a Dumbledore Funko pop toy because he knows how much I love the Harry Potter franchise.
He punked you.
He really did.
A little bit.
And I've always wanted one of these. And it's weird because I didn't realize I've never played with one. The head pivots ever so slightly.
Well, is it a bobblehead or no?
No, no. It's just a little figure.
It's a pivot head.
But he can gaze back and forth judgingly across his student body.
But weirdly, you're holding the head still and you're moving the body instead of...
No. Okay, I guess you're right. You're right, Chuck. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, goodness.
It's been a long year.
So, Noel, Ramsey, have you seen The Watchmen TV show?
I have one more episode to watch.
Oh, well, we won't talk about the finale then.
Oh, no. It's true.
Let's just say, spoiler-free, that the finale was great.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of stuff wrong. You told me that there were 8 episodes last time we recorded.
How many were there? 6?
There were 9.
9?
So you told me, I thought it was done, and then one more episode came up.
Oh, my bad.
I was like, well, that makes sense.
Yeah,
because they didn't
sense.
Quite wrap things up.
Sometimes I just say things.
And I said erroneously that, oh, yes, they're even shooting season 2 right now. And they're not shooting season 2 because there may not even be a season 2.
Well, I'd heard that in the Watchmen podcast that I've been screaming about. He actually says that to, what's his name? The guy, the Chernobyl guy, Craig,
sure.
Craig Mazin. Lindelof says probably no season 2. He spent years of his life on this one. He doesn't know that there's a meaning behind a season 2. He put all of this like political and kind of.
Two.
I don't know, man.
I think there will be.
It's up to him, though. I hear what he's saying because what he's literally saying is.
It's not up to him, though.
It's up to him whether he wants to do it or not.
Whether he does it.
That's right.
There could still be a season 2.
I guess you're right.
There could be a handoff. That's what I predict.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. I think he will remain as EP and hand it off to another showrunner.
That's interesting.
There's just more. I want more Sister Night. I want more Looking Glass.
Mm-hmm.
These are fucking great characters.
Mm-hmm. I agree. No, it's very, very, very good. And without spoiling anything, he saw the last frame of the season as a final, like, this is it.
Sure.
Whereas a lot of people have read it as a mega cliffhanger. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with him because I am a fan of an ambiguous ending.
Which the comic had in and of itself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ramsey, do you love it?
I do. And you brought up, like, the confusion of the episodes and stuff. Last night I watched Dr. Manhattan's episode.
Man, that was good.
And it feels like a season ending. Like,
yeah, that's why I bought it.
The biggest character in Watchmen is basically,
yeah,
you know.
Sure.
Well, he's not, though. He's just he's brought somewhere else for other things to happen at a later date, which
right,
happens
but
in the
when
final
you told
episode.
Me that was the finale, I believed it because it felt like it could have been.
It felt like maybe he was vaporized or something.
Yeah, but boy, that finale,
Ramsey, it's great.
Just get ready.
It's really good.
So
it's
good.
Really, really good.
And you know what, man? I'm not a big, like, I mean, there were a few TV shows I've watched all the way through multiple times,
mm-hmm.
Party Down being one of them.
you mentioned that, yeah.
But I'm going to watch Watchmen again soon, I think, because it's one of those shows that once you know everything, I think there are many rewards in rewatching to be had.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
I do.
I can even think of a few bits already now that some reveals have happened where I'm like, oh. Okay.
They lay a lot of groundwork with little pithy comments that don't
yes.
seem to land
right.
in the moment, but then in retrospect they're like, oh, that was setting up the, you know, the table for this thing that was to come.
And funnily, a lot of the finale episode takes place in Decatur Square again.
Oh, it's right there, like as is, like with the posts and everything,
oh,
those
great,
little
man.
Lighted.
I'm going to go by and take some photos of that area and post it on the Movie Crush page.
It's funny.
Because I think people would get a kick mm-hmm. out of it.
They don't hide it at all.
Mm-mm.
Not at all. And those posts, like you would think were brought in for the show, but they're really there.
They did something
out.
To make them light up a little more.
Yeah,
right?
They lit
yeah.
them up mm-hmm. a lot more mm-hmm. and they movie-fied them or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was pretty funny. If you live around here, it's... You know,
it's fun.
It takes you out of it for a second, but
yeah.
it's such a good show.
It's
that
very,
fun.
Very fun. Yeah. I know you haven't seen this, but I just want to say to the community at large, if you haven't seen Parasite yet, get thee to a cinema
yeah.
and see this movie. I rewatched it last night. The only reason I bring it up is because you mentioned getting benefits from rewatching things. This is one where I got so much out of rewatching it
mm-hmm.
because there are so many little things that's easy to miss the first time. I
can't wait.
Can't recommend it highly enough.
And Nola, just notice what's peeking out underneath your zipped hoodie. That is Ralph Boschke's Wizards.
Mm-hmm.
Nice shirt.
Thanks, man. I think the shirt is better than the movie.
Wizards was a product of its time.
Right. It's very, like, you see this image on the shirt, which is this kind of creepy dude on, like, in a red jumpsuit, like, with a laser gun thing on, like, this weird camel
like a tauntaun
creature,
almost.
Like a tauntaun.
Yeah.
And it's got this cool, I don't know, ethereal weirdness to it. And the movie's kind of goofy.
Yeah.
It's a little bit goofy.
It would be better if they made it today, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, I think
it was
so
a product of its time.
Agreed.
The other thing I wanted to mention before we get going, Noel, is I have started listening to the REM version of the Scott Aukerman and Adam Scott podcast.
It's great.
They started off with Are You Talking U2 to Me? And then they went through all of U2's albums, the great Scott Aukerman and the great Adam Scott, two dudes I'm a huge fan of.
Are You Talking REM Re-Me?
Yeah. And I can't get enough of it, man. Mm-hmm. It is, if you're a fan of REM, first of all, it's great because they genuinely do go through all the stuff, but they do it in such a way you just got to hear it because they spend an hour doing dumb comedy bits that are hysterical to me. But it's certainly not for everyone. I love this style of humor.
I do, too. It's funny, too, because Adam Scott is clearly the, like, lifer REM fanatic, you know, and wears his fandom, like, squarely on his sleeve.
Yeah.
And Scott Aukerman's a fan of, like, the early handful of records, but then kind of gets a little more meh as they go on, you know?
Well, I'm only at Reckoning now, so I'm only on episode 3.
Well, their dynamic evolves is all I'm saying. And
they sound alike, too.
They do sound a little bit alike, but it becomes a lot of Adam Scott being like an REM apologist constantly, while Scott Aukerman is kind of being a little more real about it, you know?
Holding their feet
and,
to the fire.
And it hurts Adam Scott's feelings quite a bit.
Man.
And you can tell that it's not an act, and it's really, really cool. It's really great. And then
God,
at the end,
so dumb and
there's
funny.
A new one they came out with where they actually get Stipe and company on the show.
I've heard that's coming.
Yeah, it's for the Monster reissue thing. So that's
amazing.
There now. So it's a really great show. Yeah.
I think I may be meeting with Scott Aukerman soon about something.
Oh, cool.
Very secretive.
He is a hero of mine.
Really, yeah, same here, man. I'm really looking forward to that. The meeting came up this past week. It was on a Monday, and my boss said, can you be in L.A. on Wednesday to meet with him, which is today?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, no, man, I'm recording 7 podcast episodes today.
For the holidays, banking up.
Yeah, I can't just go to L.A. even to meet Scott Aukerman, which broke my heart.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's get going. Noel, I posted on the old Movie Crush page. Since this is a New Year's episode, we went with some New Year's content. New Year's movie
revelations, perhaps.
Resolutions for the new year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I listed mine as, I believe I put seeing at least 5 films that are classic films pre-1950.
That's a really good one. I started that already the other night. I didn't finish it because I started it very late, but I started watching Rebel Without a Cause.
This is my resolution, Noel.
Well, can I borrow it? I think it's a good one is all I'm saying.
Oh, you're not allowed to watch old movies now.
No? Have you seen Rebel Without a Cause?
Yeah, I have seen that one.
It's really cool. It's not what I expected at all. It's very strange. It's really interesting.
Yeah, it's a great movie. And, you know, if you go to L.A., go up to Griffith Park Observatory.
Mm-hmm. I didn't make it that far
and,
yet.
And
but
see all the famous scenes there.
Yeah.
And there's the James Dean statue up there. It's very cool.
Interesting ensemble cast to begin with, too, because it's got Thurston Howell from Gilligan's Island is in it. And then the chief from Get Smart is in it as well.
Yeah.
And,
chief. Sal Mineo. Mm-hmm. Great. Ramsey, do you have any New Year's resolutions? Movie?
I mean, I always try to do the AFI top 100 list, but I did that a couple years ago, but I didn't really get that far. But I think like a good benchmark would be to listen to all the movies that you guys do the roundtable on before I record them.
so, you know, we've been doing these Oscar roundtables, and sadly, Ramsey has it's been the kind of thing where he can't sit in or engineer them. I don't even know if you're editing them, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
But you're seeing the movie and then editing.
Yeah. No. Okay. I'm trying to go see
trying
the movie.
Trying to, right. Yeah, so otherwise, it's just like spoiler city for you, right? Mm-hmm.
Terrible. Yeah. I get it. It's hard to get to the movies.
So that's why Knives Out hasn't been edited yet.
Right.
which I'm so happy I saw that prior to editing.
Right. You saw it last night or something?
Yeah, I saw that last night.
What'd you think? How many thumbs out of 5?
I give it 9.
9 thumbs?
9.
Wow.
Oh, out of 5? 4.5.
Okay, 4.5. He was on a 10 scale.
How many thumbs did you give it?
I gave it 5 thumbs.
That's great.
For what it was. You know,
great
we rate
picture.
These independently.
Oh yeah,
and not compared to other films.
That's the thing, though. But it was like
it was the
quintessential that thing that it was.
Yeah.
Only it took all of the nostalgia bits of it and then ramped it up to 11 and like gave you this kind of like modern retelling
totally,
of this
dude.
Thing.
Loved it.
My kid even loved it, dude. My 11-year-old followed along every beat.
Yeah.
And was super invested. I could tell. Like we were like looking at each other the whole time. Like, what's gonna happen next? It was really. It was fun. A fun time at the movies.
Do you have any resolutions movie wise? Are you just gonna steal mine?
Oh, I only steal it because I started it already the other night, you know?
Like, that's one movie, though. I mean, in general.
I feel like I have a gap in that respect, and you've inspired me to do that. I don't have to call it a resolution shock.
An 80s gap, if I remember correctly.
An 80s gap? Yeah. No,
an 80s hole.
Well, that's not entirely true. I guess I haven't seen as many of the fundamentally 80s, you know, tentpole type movies.
Like John Hughes could drive his car through your hole.
John
Hughes,
what is he? He probably has a very large car. So I think he would drive like a
He's passed away. No,
station wagon,
let's not
boat
speak
things.
Ill of the dead.
That's not ill. Complimenting the size of his car in life.
Wow, sir, large car.
What a
you must be somebody.
Exactly. Well, that's how they measured it success in the '80s, right? The size of your car. Well,
eighties.
I don't know, Chuck.
I drove a Volkswagen Beetle. That sums it up.
Clearly don't know anything about the 80s.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
All right, so here we go with Tasha Hamilton. Watch one movie per week, maybe, hopefully, with my husband. 3-year-old, opposite schedules. She's fallen off her game, so she's going to get back on it. Our oldest of friends, Yvonne Baudet, says, never been to the movies by myself. Perhaps try that. Well, Yvonne, you got a lot of responses there. There's nothing better than going to a movie alone to me.
You do it a lot.
I do. I mean, if I can't get Scotty to go with me, he's my other matinee buddy, then I go alone. And I never saw it as like, and people go to dinner alone too, so I'm not knocking it.
Sure.
But people classify both of those sometimes as like a sad, lonely person thing. And I'm always like, no, it's just if you can get to the movies.
Of course.
Just go.
Get ye to the movies.
I mean, it can be a social thing, but to me, I'm going to see a movie.
The last movie I saw by myself was, the only one I'd seen by myself in a very, very long time. It was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood at the Alamo Draft House in Brooklyn. And that was a really cool solo movie going experience. It was early, too. Mm-hmm. It's a long movie. So by the time I got out of it, the whole day was ahead of me.
Right.
I had just had this nice solo experience.
Uh-huh.
It was good.
I love it. And you masturbated in the theater.
Of course I did.
Which is fantastic.
That's what you do.
Ramsey, do you go to movies by yourself?
I do.
And it's great, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You can enjoy yourself. Yeah.
No totally. One bugs you?
No one bugs you.
You don't have to talk about the movie after, which is the worst.
Well, yeah.
I'm kidding. I love talking
the obligatory, like, outside the thing. I mean, unless it's, inspired,
that.
But, you know,
yeah.
Sometimes it's a little much. Yeah.
All right. So we're all in favor of it. I love it. Yvonne, go to movies by yourself. Liberate thyself.
Mm-hmm.
EJ Lavac says, I'm going to get through as much of Mystery Science Theater 3000 back catalog as humanly possible. I love it. Mike Sams, top fan and old friend. Part of my 20 for 2020, whoa, is to see 20 movies in the theater and write reviews on Letterboxd. Okay. Ramsey, are you on Letterboxd?
I'm not.
Okay.
I just signed up for Letterboxd and have gotten a decent amount of followers just from the Movie Crush community. I've liked a handful of movies, but I haven't written any reviews yet.
I'm not writing reviews. I'm just sort of listing and ranking. And
that's what I'm going to probably do.
I don't know how much value there is to be honest.
I was going to say, is it worth it?
I don't know.
Actually write the reviews, I think that might be a lot of effort for not a lot of payoff. But just I like to see other people's lists,
sure.
You know, and then I can decide for myself.
I get it. Alicia Dietz, old friend, says, I recently filled the shining hole in my life, so I guess I'll go with going to the movies more by myself. Yeah, for sure. Old friend Zach Pointer pledged to get Disney Plus once it's released in Japan. John Millsap, old pal, says, going to work through at least 10 best picture winners that I've never seen. These are all great goals.
Mm-hmm.
Good movie goals. Let me see here. Celeste Edwards, Kenegeter. Says, I'm going to try and fill some of my holes. Godfather, Matrix, and Pulp Fiction. Boy, Celeste. I'm not one to talk about a lady's holes in public, but those are some pretty big holes. Can you believe those three, Noel?
I think those are all kind of fundamentally required viewing, I would say. Whether
sure.
whether you think they're the end-all, be-all of all cinema, it's important to have seen them, I think, to be part of the conversation.
The cultural canon,
indeed.
If you will. Adrian Crane got Disney Plus and plans to catch up on Disney and Pixar classics. It's kind of fun scrolling through there and seeing what all is available on the old. Do you have it yet, Ramsey?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You like it? You've been plowing through stuff?
Yeah, Bed Knobs and Broomsticks.
See, I haven't done any of those yet.
Yeah. I like, if you saw Toy Story 4, the Forky shorts.
No.
Doing,
boy, I love Forky, though.
Yeah.
There's a whole little,
what's love
like a mini-series of just Forky shorts.
What's a computer? I mean, they're like two-minute shorts, but they're really well-produced.
Fantastic.
Like.
Speaking of the shorts, I love that all of the Pixar shorts are available on Disney+. And there's so many of them, and they're all so good.
I saw the one that everyone said was such a tearjerker.
The Dumplings one?
No, I had seen that before one of the movies in the theater. But is it Float? What's the one with the kid that floats away?
Oh,
It may be called Float.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah,
they're all kind of tear jerky.
Yeah, there's one where there's a father and he has a kid that floats.
Oh.
And his job as a parent is to keep his kid from floating away.
Oh, floating like in the air?
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, and that's not floating like in water.
I don't recall that one. Another one that's really feelsy is the one with the volcanoes that are in love or whatever.
There's haven't seen that one.
That one was the one before Moana, and it's like a musical kind of. It's called I Lava You, I think is what it's called.
That sounds about
right. It's pretty cute. It's pretty damn cute.
Moana was good.
I love Moana.
We watched that again the other day. That's a good movie. It's funny watching some of these older Disney films, even the cartoons, animated ones are, you know, the message isn't always on point. They thought they were on point, but not necessarily. Like, especially if you're a young girl, there's just a lot of, you know, damsel in distress. Boy, I need a man to come along and make things right for me.
But I mean, they didn't exactly invent that, but they were sort of jumping off of the source material they were working from.
I mean, it's a time as old as can be, but like they're doing the right thing now, I think.
For sure.
And empowering these characters.
Oh, I agree completely. I mean, I think I love everything that Disney's put out in the past, you know, several decades.
It's all good stuff.
It's all quality entertainment.
Kurt Caster says he's going to watch all the Best Picture nominees for the first time ever.
Like all? Of this year.
I think all
for
of
this
year, probably.
Okay. Yeah.
Probably not all of all time.
No, that would take forever.
Although 2020, you could do it. Old friend Megan Carroll says, trying to watch one new-to-me movie a month. I've become more of a TV binger, so I really miss digging into the films. That's easy to get sidetracked with the good TV these days, you know?
There is a lot out there, and it's easy to kind of start something, and then if it doesn't grab you completely, you kind of drift away because there's just so much out there to, you know,
too much
to check out.
I might say. Too much. All right, we're going to move on then to coming attractions. I asked the movie crushers what movies they were looking forward to most in 2020, and gave them a little link to a Collider article detailing those releases as a cheat sheet. Do you guys have any off the top of your head that you know of?
I'm looking forward to that Black Widow movie.
Okay, same.
Black Widow, like...
ScarJo.
Oh, okay.
Marvel.
Isn't it going to be R-rated?
Boy, I hope so.
I heard it was going to be like a little more intense. Like, yeah.
I could use some more intensity.
Because they've had some success with those now.
Yeah.
With Deadpool and Logan and all that, so...
Right, interesting.
That would be a fun thing to see.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you? I know Dune is really up there.
Dune is, I mean,
for
bearded guys
like us.
I just love Villeneuve so much, and I think he'll handle that. Like, I thought that his Blade Runner was so genius. I think we've talked about this. I'd argue it's better than the original. I think, obviously, there's a lot of people that have issues with David Lynch's Dune. It was a problematic, kind of imperfect
film. I never saw it. I'm not a Dune guy, but I'm a fan of
Villeneuve?
Frank Herbert? Or
the director, the French-Canadian director that did...
Blade Runner
and Enemy and Sicario great. And everything he's done has been – oh, also what
perfect.
Is it? What was the one with the aliens and the language barrier and stuff?
The early one?
No, it was like maybe a couple – 3 years ago.
The aliens and the language barrier?
Yeah, it was about language. It was about
I think that was the name of it, the alien and the language barrier.
Stop it. What the heck was that called?
Arrival.
Yeah. Also great.
No, I love it. I think he's 100% club so
I'm
far.
Actually a fan of the original Dune. Might be the only person.
No,
when I was a kid, I watched it.
Well, it's a fun, weird movie. It's a David Lynch sci-fi movie, but it's like, I think they ran out of money, and it becomes very clear that they ran out of money because the movie just kind of screeches to a halt.
Oh, interesting.
It was like, what's that guy's name? Dino De Laurentiis, the big producer.
Yeah.
I think he financed it, and it was going way over budget, and they just kind of like, feels like they jump from like, B to X really quickly because they didn't have enough money to.
So Dino at the end with
the in between parts.
No more dinero
from Dino.
Lynch turned down Jedi to direct Jedi to do Dune.
That's right.
Like, he was going to do Return of the Jedi.
That's right. Yeah. He was asked directly by Lucas. Yeah.
Boy, I can't imagine what that would have been like.
I mean, he would have had obviously. I'm sure they would have had to rein him in a little bit. Or
yeah,
those Ewoks would have been killer.
Yeah.
Because he might have saved Jedi. Looking back. Because I'm not a fan.
You're not a fan?
Okay. I mean, it's fine, but no, I was.
Is that the one where you feel like they just threw the kitchen sink, and just like kind of were just trying to.
You know, my problems with Jedi were mainly that Luke became a badass, and I didn't like seeing him that way. Mm. I liked the Luke of New Hope and Empire.
The vulnerable Luke.
Yeah, and then when he came out wearing the all black and he was a tough guy, it was such a character shift for me. I didn't buy it. And that was my biggest problem with it. And it was a bit of a mess to me.
Mm-hmm. It definitely seems like it's hit or miss for even the biggest fans of the series.
Yeah, I think so. Zach Pointer says, Bill and Ted, Eternals, and Black Widow.
Dude, have you seen Kumail Nanjiani all jacked looking?
I saw that for the first time yesterday, and I almost fucking fell out of my chair.
It's like borderline upsetting.
Yeah,
like I thought it was a Photoshop. First of all, it's not.
Like he cut his head and put it on
his
body.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's that Marvel like super soldier program they've got going on, man. It's
and
wild.
I'm like, somebody put me in a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
So I can look like that. I don't want to look like that.
It takes a year of like just, complete
obsession
and like live-in trainers and all of that. Same thing happened with, what's his name from Parks and Rec? When he did the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, Star-Lord, what the heck's his name?
Oh, yeah. Pratt.
Yeah. He went from like schlubby Andy to like.
Paul Rudd jacked up a little for Ant-Man. He didn't go Kumail Nanjiani style, but.
He's in Eternals, though, is the reason I bring it up. Kumail Nanjiani's in Eternals.
Okay, which is why he did it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's weird, man. I hope he doesn't get less funny, because usually people that look like that can't be funny, too.
Also true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wonder if his sense of humor is gone.
Yeah.
Samantha H.L. says Wonder Woman is at the tippy top of my list.
It looks fun. Did you see the trailer?
Yeah, man.
It's all 80s-fied.
I mean, the first one was great.
It was.
I want to see more of that.
This is like they're taking the first one, squishing it together with like Stranger Things.
Yeah.
You know? Shoving it out the door.
Shoving it out the door.
Mm-hmm.
Meenal Dada says, Now that I know David Harbour is in it, Black Widow, and Wonder Woman 1984 is a close second. Yeah, Harbour looks good in that.
Did you see his Hellboy?
No.
It didn't get.
Did you see it, Ramsey?
Yeah.
He gave it two thumbs way down.
No?
It was, and he even made a fart
noise. It was
real
bad.
I mean, it's... Yeah, I mean, when you look at the cast, you're like, this is going to be great, but it was awful.
Yeah,
like,
man, it's a shame.
I think Rotten Tomatoes is amazing, how you can swing 20%.
Because the ones,
there's a lot of problematic stuff on the set, though, I think.
Well, I heard that, yeah. But what's the director, of course? Del Toro. The first two are just so delightful. They're
cool.
They're fun.
Yeah.
They're exciting. There's, like, intrigue and mystery, and there's just a lot of good writing, and the visuals are awesome. And it just seemed like they really... bed on this one, yeah.
They took those first two movies and put it into one movie. They did too much.
Oh, you
know,
interesting.
They should have just taken one part of Hellboy and done a movie about it. You know,
it sounds like a mess.
Yeah.
Mm. Bummer.
But yeah, he got jacked for that movie,
he
too.
Did.
Yeah.
He did.
He did. He was fairly jacked.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, David Harbour, fantastic apartment. He was in, it was either Architectural Digest or Dwell or something, and they did a little, if you're into home decor and architecture, he redid this apartment in New York. It's very lovely. I advise you to look it up. Krista Scott, Top Gun and Dune. The new Top Gun trailer is out. And it's, you know, hitting all the nostalgia buttons for me.
That's what everyone seems to say. I only saw, like, the original teaser that had, like, inside cockpit view, I think. And then, like, some tricks and hearing the internal monologue or whatever.
Fleshed out.
Okay. I'll
check
it out.
It looks good. And, boy, the just... If you're a fan of aviation, just seeing the what's going on flying-wise in this movie, it just looks off the charts. Amazing. Dan Maynard, old friend, says so many, but the new Ghostbusters and New Mutants, if it actually happens, it's going to be great. Amy Ball says Wonder Woman and Ghostbusters. What'd you guys think of the Ghostbusters trailer?
Looked pretty cool.
Yeah? I'm down.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, I think it was a good teaser.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, is it going to be funny and stuff? I like, of course it will be.
They're putting that Stranger Things kid in everything, though, I'll tell you.
Finn
Wolfhard?
Yeah, what else was he? He was in It. Right. Yeah, it's almost like he can act or something.
He's pretty good. Yeah, he does a good job.
Old pal Jenna Van Valen says, the new Coming to America. Yeah, I'm very nervous about that.
They shot that here.
Oh, did they?
Uh-huh.
Ugh. Well, Eddie Murphy was in town, and I didn't get him on.
I guess so.
That's so surprising.
What do you think about it, though? I haven't even seen the trailer.
I haven't seen the trailer, man.
Do you think the original is great?
Yes.
You do? Okay. It's one of your favorite comedy-type films.
Yeah, I think it really holds up as very funny.
What is it about it that does it for you, that you would worry they wouldn't be able to get right in a reboot?
Well, what I'm worried about with the sequel is that it will be the worst kind of sequel, which is doing the same thing over. And, like, the same jokes even and the same setups. Like, that's the laziest, worst kind of sequel you can do.
Kind of like the Zoolander sequel. I'm not sure if you saw that.
I didn't even see that. I heard such bad things.
That's what they did, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah, why bother? I didn't see the Anchorman sequel.
Especially with so much time having passed. Like, unless there's a real compelling reason to bring back these characters and, like, see what they've been up to, it's maybe there will be, though.
What worries me is I think the plot is his Prince Hakim's son now wants to come to America to find his wife. And it's like, that's the same goddamn setup.
That does,
like, you gotta do something different with it.
Is there anybody worthy attached to it, directing? Or?
I'm not sure. You know?
Okay.
Coming to America, too?
I don't know.
I know this is all bringing back to all the same casts.
The
people that are still alive, obviously. Wesley Snipes in it.
Oh, is he?
Addition. Craig Brewer.
Dolemite.
Oh, Craig Brewer did it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is he good?
Yeah, he did Hustle and Flow. And,
oh, he sure did.
I think he did the Footloose remake, which he's sort of
been
Hustle
up and Flow's good.
Hustle and Flow's great.
The Dolemite movie that Eddie Murphy did was awesome. I don't know if you guys saw
it. I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, that was
good. A Netflix jam, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to see that one.
I'm nervous about it, too. It's just like the Bill and Ted movie. It just it seems really forced. Like they're bringing back death.
Yeah.
So it's like, why bring back the same characters when you can have new characters?
I know.
New stories.
You know what? I've said it on here before. My dirty secret is I never thought Bill and Ted was that great. It was fine.
It's whatever.
But I'm not one of these people that is just like, oh my God, Bill and Ted was the best thing
ever. It's not super funny. It's just kind of kitschy and like goofy.
It was okay. Yeah. I saw it. It was fine. But
if you rewatch it, there's actually some problematic language in it, kind of. They call each other F word a lot. Like, you know, the... the not the not fucker? Fuck. No, the bad one that we don't like to say. That's a pejorative.
Yes.
That they used to say in the 90s a lot, just right. Like willy-nilly. You
sure,
know?
Yeah. Frogs.
That's the one.
Michael O'Neill says The Color Out of Space. I haven't heard of that one.
Oh, yet. It looks good.
Really?
Yeah, it's got something to do with some of the production team behind Mandy, and I know you were a little lukewarm about that one, but
yeah.
Visually you can't deny that it had a cool thing going on aesthetically. Yeah, like it's real neon sure. And like crazy looking. This looks very much like that. The Color Out of Space is a H.P. Lovecraft short story about like literally a alien invader that is experienced in the form of being a color.
I totally saw that trailer.
And the trailer looks real kooky and fun. And it's Nick Caging out.
Yeah, I think Pam, our colleague, shared that on her Facebook wall, and I watched it because mm-hmm. Pam shared it, and I trust Pam. I'm trying to get Pam back on here, guys.
Yeah.
She's giving me the hi-hat.
I've never heard that expression before.
Miller's Crossing?
Yeah.
He's giving me the hi-hat.
Oh, the hi-hat. Yes, that's right.
I don't even know what it means.
Yeah.
Let me see here. Kevin Clark says Angelica Houston isn't excited about The Witches, so I don't know how I can be.
Wait a minute. There's a Witches remake? Sequel?
I'm not sure. Oh. And then let's finish up with our old pal, Culver Matthew. He just has a two-word list. Fucking Dune.
Yeah. Totally.
It's going to be a good year.
Is there anything out there about Dune? Is any video, any nothing?
I haven't seen anything. I did see the new Bill and Ted photos were released yesterday, and the deal is their daughters are in the movie as the, I think, the main protagonist. So I'm down with that.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
But we are going to finish up here, everyone, with an edition of Chuck's Holes, because I saw, and you saw as well, Noel, on the Movie Crushers page, they thought it would be a good idea to, on their own, come up with movies that they would force us to watch that are our holes, and we're both down with it.
Yeah.
As long as it's not the Harry Potter series for
right,
me.
Right, right.
That's my only stipulation.
No, you know, it would be the Harry Potter series for me.
Right, yeah, exactly. But you, I mean, you're Noel, your holes are legendary at this point.
They are.
And very well
far known. And wide.
But my holes
mostly
are,
wide.
Are a little more secretive. Good Lord. So I thought I could expose my holes
sure.
a little more today.
Yeah, we'd love
maybe
to see them.
Give aid to this list that they're going to come up with.
Okay.
Of stuff that they're going to make me watch.
All right.
So Ramsey has the traditional Sharpie.
Yeah. Okay.
Unless you have your own method.
I don't. I just need a slip of
here,
of papier.
You can use this.
All right. Oh, it's column shaped already. I love it.
Yeah.
So what do? You just tally?
Well, I do a Y on one side and an N on the other, Noel, and then I do the old 1, 2, 3, 4, diagonal 5. But you do it however you want.
But you number it? Do you make a numbered list all the way to 20?
No, I don't do that. I just read them out loud. But you do it however you want, Noel. Ramsey's laughing at your methods. So
I'm already out of room. You know what I'm going to do?
What's
that? I am just, because since we have a finite number, I'm just going to make a tally of the
yeses and the noes?
Of the yeses.
Oh.
And then we'll, by product of process of elimination, determine how many noes there were after the fact.
All right.
How do you like
There's
that?
There's going to be some complicated math, because at a certain point I'm going to ask you what the score is, Noel. So just get ready for that.
Oh.
Bit of comedy.
Shit. Okay. All right. Fine. All right, but I just, what if I get it off kilter and I can't
tell?
This
is amazing, everybody, what's happening right here. Put a Y on one side and an N on the other.
Okay, and then just move down. But what if I need 20 spaces, though? That's a lot. This is a very short piece of paper.
I think Ramsey was just videoing this experience.
All right. You know what?
Nolan is now looking for another piece of paper. Wow, you really can't figure this out, can you?
I got it. I've figured it out, Chuck. You threw me for a loop when you said I had to tell you what the score was halfway through. I could tell you. Anyway, all right, let's just get to it, shall we?
Man, this is great.
Okay.
I didn't see this coming.
Well, here it is, Chuck.
All right.
Here it is.
All right.
Exposing more of my holes. They're called math holes.
Uh-huh.
Okay, number one on the list, we've got a niche Japanese sort of a schlocky action / Yakuza picture called Ichi the Killer.
Nope.
By Takashi Miike.
No. Is there a theme to this list?
Not really.
Okay,
no, not
card.
Really.
All right.
So that's a no. Okay.
Just so everyone knows, Noel is writing N's and Y's.
Right? As opposed, what would you recommend, Chuck?
I already told you what I'd recommend. But
what did you know? Remind me? What was it?
I want to see you do it your way.
Oh, my God.
No, that's great. I love it.
You've poo-pooed all my other methods.
I love it. There's a big N over there.
Yeah.
All right, what's the next movie?
The next one is A Very Long Engagement.
Oh.
It's a French film by the directors of Amelie.
I have not seen that. I don't think I have. No, I'm going to have to say no.
Okay. So I've got two N's here now.
Yeah, I love it.
For nose. all right. This is a very famous animated anime film. This is not a niche one, though. It's pretty commonly, people have seen this one. Akira.
No.
Okay. Next, we have Emilio Estevez and Mick Jagger vehicle.
Freeway? Yes.
Free Jack.
Oh, Free Jack, yes.
You've seen Free Jack.
Yeah, that was shot in Atlanta, actually.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. How about a little British gangsta picture called Layer Cake?
Yes.
Okay.
I like this free form.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah, it's all over the place.
Yeah. I figured we'd want like a nice look into your overall whole scape as opposed to, you know, just one genre or another.
Yeah, that's right. Focusing on the single hole.
Exactly. Next, Chuck, sir, we have a little film, a science fiction film from the 80s starring Arnold Schwarzenegger based on a short story by the great Stephen King called The Running Man.
Yes.
You've seen The Running Man.
Yes.
Okay.
My goal is to predict the title before you even say it.
All right. I'm going to try to be a little more vague then. next, we have another kind of man.
Okay.
He's not running this time, or is he? He kind of is, technically.
Encino Man.
He's participating in what a running event, Chuck. A running event.
Chariots of Fire.
And he is tortured by a Nazi dentist.
Oh, sure. I've seen this.
The Marathon Man.
Yes.
You've seen The Marathon Man. Okay. That's with
Is it safe?
That's with the great Laurence Olivier.
Laurence Olivier.
Yeah, he plays the said Nazi dentist.
That's right.
Okay. here we have something of a mockbuster. We could call this the original mockbuster.
I don't know what that is.
A mockbuster is sort of a movie that mimics another type of more famous movie.
Okay.
So instead of Transformers, you've got Transmorphers.
Okay.
Instead of snakes on a plane, you've got snakes on a train.
Okay.
Something like that. This isn't exactly that, but this was infamously known for its McDonald's product placement, and also for Paul Rudd playing a clip from it every time he's on the Conan O'Brien show.
I have not seen
it. It's called Mac and Me.
Yeah, I have not seen
it. Yeah, you're not missing anything. It's an awful, awful
film. I've seen that trailer because I'm a Conan
fan. Well, it's the scene where the kid's in the wheelchair and he goes down, he rolls down the hill and then the brake breaks off and then he flies through, you know, clearly a dummy falling off of this cliff. And then the bad-looking alien sits up and goes, "Rah!"
One of the great recurring bits.
It's a very good recurring
bit. From the great Paul Rudd.
Okay, next we have a sequel, a holiday sequel, Home Alone 2, Lost in New York.
Yes, of course.
You've seen that one. Okay, great.
But only once, I think.
You're doing quite well, Chuck. You're doing quite well here.
I'm sort of mixed.
Next we have, this is sort of a B kind of cult science fiction film starring the great Jason Robards. It's called A Boy and His Dog, also starring Don Johnson.
No.
Okay. It's sort of a post-apocalyptic sci-fi schlock kind of fest.
Okay.
All right. We've got that one as an N. My system's working just fine, Chuck.
I love it. I'm going to take a picture of that later. Okay. It's interesting how your brain works.
Well, I guess I could have just done them in a line. I didn't have to use the columns, though.
You know? This is really interesting.
Okay. You're getting a glimpse into my, my brain processes. All right. I think I remember you saying that you have not seen this one, but we'll see. Hellraiser, the movie.
Yeah, I saw that.
The original Hellraiser?
One.
Okay.
Was there a sequel?
There's a lot of sequels. There's a lot of sequels.
No, that's Pinhead.
Pinhead.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Okay. Great. Next, we have another Clive Barker film from probably the late 80s, possibly very early 90s, Nightbreed.
I have not seen Nightbreed.
You have not seen Nightbreed.
I know the movie, though.
It's not great, but it was clearly very expensive.
I've heard some good things about it.
It's an interesting movie. It's, okay. I mean, it's got David Cronenberg plays the big villain in it. He's sort of a slasher character. It's a fun
movie. I see Ramsey nodding enthusiastically. Yeah. Do you like Nightbreed, Ramsey?
I did when I was a kid. It's
right.
It doesn't hold up.
I don't think it holds up, but it's a fun monster fest.
Did Greg Sheffer was in that?
I don't recall. I don't know.
Is he the lead? I don't know.
I don't know. I didn't know him super well, the lead anyway. Okay.
I have a friend who had sex with him.
Wow. That's a claim to fame. How was he?
Well, there's more to the story. I'll tell you guys after.
Okay, fair, fair.
Yeah, Cronenberg is pretty good in it, though.
He is.
Very
creepy. I had a friend who had sex with Cronenberg, too.
No way.
Just joking.
I once went on a Tinder date with a girl who had a friend who had sex with Quentin Tarantino, and apparently he really does have a foot fetish.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Of course he does.
That's all I got.
That's not a surprise.
Next, we have a film starring David Bowie, who he also did the soundtrack for it, and it's called Absolute Beginners.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
Yeah, you enjoy that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard mixed things about it. I haven't seen it, but
yeah, I haven't. I mean, it's been many, many years.
What's it about? It's like about like high society ballroom dancing or something.
I don't recall, but I definitely saw it.
Okay,
I'm not cheating on this one.
Yeah, you're doing great, Chuck. You're doing great. It's a pretty even split. I think the yeses are you're in favor of the yeses here, the yes column.
Looks like 7-6 to me.
Don't look at my paper,
yeses
Chuck.
To nose.
Don't look at my paper. Should we do a little? Let's see. So for nose, we've got 6 nose and 7 y's. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you're very neck and neck. Neck and neck, Chuck. All right. Next, we have another rock star film turn with Under the Cherry Moon.
You know what, man? I want to say yes, but I don't think I've ever seen it all the way through.
Starring
so
Prince.
I'm going to have to say no.
And Sade.
Yeah.
Wait, or was Sade in Absolute Beginners? I think she's in Absolute Beginners. Excuse me. I'm getting mixed up here. But yeah, apparently Under the Cherry Moon is quite bad, but I have not seen it. So we're going to give that a no?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for being honest, Chuck.
I cannot say that I saw that one all the way through.
Okay. Next we have, I only just learned about this movie because there's a new series on Netflix that explores the creation of movies that went on to become kind of iconic, but at the time were sort of underfunded and a little bit like fledgling. And this was the making of Home Alone 1. And it was directed by Chris Columbus, whose only other feature to that point was an Elvis movie called Heartbreak Hotel. From 1988, and it did get a wide release, but apparently bombed and wasn't good. Okay,
I know the movie. You're talking on Heartbreak Hotel is the movie, right?
Yeah, Heartbreak Hotel. Mm-hmm. All right. Next, we have The Phantom of the Paradise.
The Kiss movie? No.
It's not. No, it's not the. It's not a Kiss movie. It's the guy that did the music. Like,
no, wait, Phantom of the Park.
Yes.
Was the Kiss movie,
that was
right?
A Kiss movie, yeah.
But no, I know Phantom of the Paradise, but I have not seen that.
It's that guy, Paul.
Was it Paul Williams?
Paul Williams, yeah. Did the music, and it's like a rock opera kind of thing. He did that one, too. Yeah, he did a lot of the Muppet music, Rainbow Connection, all that stuff. Okay, great. Next.
I don't think you added the no, though.
I thought I did.
No, because
okay, all right.
I'm keeping up there.
Yeah, because you had not seen Heartbreak Hotel or correct. Under the Cherry Moon, so that's three N's in a row.
Yeah, man, I'm getting hammered here.
Next, the seminal 90s computer. What would a computer look like in a movie approximation?
Electric Dreams?
Hallmark is Hackers.
Yes.
You've seen Hackers. Okay.
Good movie.
It's fun.
I bet it doesn't hold up.
It is. Well, certainly what doesn't hold up is the way the internet looks.
Yeah, you can't, all that you can't make a movie about current technology and expect that to ever hold
you
up.
You sure can't. Okay, next we have a film from a director who went on to do a lot of big Marvel pictures, but kind of got his start doing more low-budge kind of horror comedy. This was somewhere in between those two worlds with a movie called Darkman.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
I feel like we're near the end, Noel. I think we need a tally to see how we're going to.
Yeah, yeah. You got two left.
All right,
on
where
the
are
list.
We?
So we're at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 yeses. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 noes.
That's how that works.
Yes, it is, Chuck. I'm just confirming my figures gotcha. Here, you know?
All right, man. This is really, it always comes down to the wire.
It's down to the wire. You've been a worthy adversary here, Chuck. Despite shredding my tallying methods, which is absolutely fine. What are you going to post? What's so comical about this, Chuck? This is helpful for me. I can differentiate between the whys and the
ends. You
know,
it really is a peak, though. I think you may work spatially in your brain more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You might be a spatial learner.
I'm definitely a spacey learner. It's true. okay. Next we have – that was a drum roll.
Yeah.
Howard the Duck.
I never saw that. Stinker.
Ooh, that could have gone either way, Chuck.
Yeah.
That could have gone either way.
I never saw Howard the Duck.
All right.
Even young Chuck knew that was a bad movie. All right. Well, I can either equalize or be defeated.
I'm pretty sure you've seen this one. Hocus Pocus.
Yes. In fact, I just saw that for the first time this year.
It's a dead heat, Chuck.
Yeah.
Is that the expression? Heat or
10,
heap?
10.
Is it a dead heat or a dead heap?
It's a dead heat.
A dead heat. What does that mean, though? What is a dead heat?
A dead heap. You don't want to come across a dead heap.
What is a dead heat, though?
A dead heat. A heat is a race.
Oh.
So a dead heat would be a race where it is a tie.
A dead heap would be like a pile of bodies. That would be terrible. Should we do a tiebreaker from Ramsey, maybe?
Oh, no.
No.
We don't ever tiebreak.
Okay.
We'll just keep it at 50-50.
All right, we'll keep
That's
it at 50-50.
So those are my 10 holes.
Yeah.
You can pick from that list if you want. But yeah, I'm eager to get involved in this Crusher thing where we are forced to watch movies occasionally. How often should we do that?
How will they hold us accountable, though?
I told them they could.
It's the honor system. It's the honor system.
Yeah, it's the honor system. I told them they could design it however they want, so we'll just leave it to them and see how they
absolutely
want to do it.
Power to the people. Power to the Crushers.
That's right. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. Welcome to 2020. Thank you, Ramsey, for a great 2019, and Noel. And look forward to more to come this year.
Indeed. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.